Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It's our 854th day together in the Word of God, and we're here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word, and thank you for the blessing it is to be in your word day by day. We pray that you would write Ecclesiastes 5 on our hearts today by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might walk by faith, trusting in Jesus more and more day by day. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business, and a fool's voice with many words. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay in paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that that was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For where dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity, but God is the one you must fear. If you see in a province the oppression of the poor and the violation of justice and righteousness, do not be amazed at the matter, for the high official is watched by a higher, and there are yet higher ones over them. But this is gain for a land in every way, a king committed to cultivated fields. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much. But the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. There is a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. And he is father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take away nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand. This also is a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for the wind? Moreover, all his days he eats in darkness, in much vexation and sickness and anger. Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. For he will not remember much the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. Ecclesiastes 5 has a sobering word for us when it comes to worship, and especially if making oaths or taking vows. We need to be very careful when we speak things before God, especially in worship. You guard your steps. You don't come primarily to tell God about what you're going to do for him. You come to listen. You come in humility. You come realizing that God is in heaven and I am on earth. He is God and I am not. He is eternal. I am temporal. He is the creator. I am the creature. He is infallible. I am very broken and sinful. Therefore, just don't say very much. And listen and worship. Now, when you do vow a vow to God, don't delay in paying it. Tell God you're going to do something. Tell God you're going to give something. Do it. Pay it. It's better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. It is not. God is very serious when we say to him promises and vows, and then when we break those. I mean, the divorce rate, even among professing Christians, no, it's not as high among professing Christians as it is among non-Christians, but it's still high, way too high. There's a lack of seriousness with which people even enter into marriage vows. They go in knowing that they might have to just look for a way out if they're not in love anymore. So we need to take these things very seriously. Otherwise, the judgment of God comes, the discipline of God comes for those who are careless with their words and vow empty things and don't keep those vows. Verse 8 and 9 give us another reality about people in a fallen world, and that is bureaucracy. Government bureaucracy is often corrupt. And so the fact that we see the oppression of the poor, right, which had been so troubling earlier in Ecclesiastes, it really shouldn't surprise us, because the way that the layers of bureaucracy work within organized society often breeds corruption. And if you give this guy above you a little bit extra money, he'll look the other way on things that you're doing to exploit money on the people who are below you, etc. But in verse 9, this is gain for a land in every way, a king committed to cultivated fields, a king who wants to see his people prospering. In other words, the government should be most interested in seeing the prosperity of their people, seeing their people flourish, not increasing their own power or control, or, you know, their own lining their own pockets. He who loves money will never be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. You know, 1 Timothy chapter 6 says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and it is. And that's just realistic. If you give yourself to the love of money, always pursuing, it's a striving after wind, it's vanity, it's vaporous, you're never, ever going to have enough if that's what you're setting your life on. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. You know, so many people, like, if you look at Hollywood celebrities and professional athletes who have made, in some cases, hundreds of millions of dollars over the course of their career and then have been completely bankrupt, just absolutely flat broke. Why? It's usually because there's an endless number of people who are waiting to feed off of what you have. So, what's better is a laborer who works for his wages, who earns them honestly, and sleeps well. But the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. All sorts of different reasons why, if you have lots of money, you have lots of trouble. You know, worrying about your investments, worrying about people who might be taking advantage of you, worrying about whether or not things are going to take a turn for the worse, worrying about the state of the economy. That's not worth it. And what's even worse is when someone holds on to their riches instead of giving it away or sharing it, and it's to their own hurt, and then they can get lost very quickly. How many people get absolutely despondent when the stock market crashes, or when the housing market crashes, or when some company that they had invested severely in goes belly up? People just get absolutely despondent because now they have nothing to give their children. But that's the way it is in this life. Like, we cannot put our hopes, put our expectations, put our identity, put our sense of purpose. We can't put that on having enough money so that we can leave an inheritance to those behind us. If we can, great. But that's just a gift, right? It's a gift. And that's where this chapter ends, as we've come back to a couple of different times here in Ecclesiastes. Good work is good. Good food is good. Good drink is good. Good friendship is good. All these things are good. They're good because God gives them. And you see the difference between receiving as a gift and striving after wind is in attitude, expectation, and posture. If you think you have a sense of entitlement or a sense of avarice, either way, like you think, I deserve, you better give, that's entitlement, or avarice, you're just chasing after, trying to get more and more and more, greedy, 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 you're going to be completely unsatisfied. You can never be given enough. You can never earn enough. But if your posture is one of humility, the beginning of this chapter, what did we start with? Don't say much before God. Keep your mouth closed. Keep your posture humble. He's in heaven. You're on earth. He's the creator. You're the creature. Don't try to tell God how great you are and what you're going to do for him. Just listen. Just listen. Listening is a receiving posture. Listening is a humble posture. And so if we are in an attitude of, humility, receiving, gratitude, then we'll receive what God gives and we'll be thankful for it. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. If you can have enough work to keep yourself busy, enough food to eat, place to sleep at night, friends and family around you, thank the Lord. Rejoice. You're blessed. You're blessed. Don't be thinking, oh, but if only I had a better car, or oh, if only I had this newest technology, but oh, why can't I have? No. Take what God gives, give him praise for it, and be blessed with joy in your heart. Let's pray. Father, you've given us so much, and above all the earthly blessings, you've given us your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who gives us an eternal inheritance. We don't need to worry about the inheritance we might leave behind in this world. We can be focused on the inheritance that's kept in heaven for us, that is in Jesus Christ, that is unshakable and cannot be lost or stolen. Thank you. You're so good. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's Ecclesiastes 5. Tomorrow we're going to move on to chapter 6. I hope you have a blessed day in the Lord. Mm-hmm.